Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. Well, I can really identify with Peter, as I think a lot of people can. Any kind of gathering that I've been at where the question was asked, who is your favorite Bible character? Peter is the one that's named most often. And Peter's the one that kind of gets things wrong, kind of like I kind of got some things wrong this week. I was reading over the Thursday email, and I was like, where did that three times come from? That's a different Bible. Anyway, ask me if you're curious about that. But the one thing I get right is that I believe Jesus to be the Son of God. Oftentimes, we find our identity through the eyes and in the opinion of others. At least I do. When this happens, I tend to want to check in with someone who knows me well in order to accurately hear and interpret what someone else is saying about me. When I read today's gospel, I had this mental image of the disciples sitting around, and Jesus maybe sitting on a rock in front of them or standing, and he asked this question, and several of them, you know, they were like, they want to answer it. And they put their hands up, maybe like in school. This is just my imagination. And, you know, when you were dying for the teacher to call on you because you knew the answer, or you thought you knew the answer. But it's almost as if the disciples' responses, in my mind, they almost feel like questions. What do people say? Well, I don't know. What do people say? But then Jesus turns it around and asks the questions, who do you, referring to the disciples, say that I am? Peter gets it right, and Jesus makes it known how important Peter's answer really is, and how important it really is for us as disciples, as it was for those gathered many years ago, for us to know and listen to this question and know the answer for ourselves. This is one of those places where the truth and the importance of the biblical message transcends all time and all place. In a world where people either don't know who Jesus is, or they don't have stopped believing in him, or they're just disillusioned, we know, as disciples, we know who Jesus is, and it is our responsibility to be prepared to answer the question as Peter did and declare that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter gets the right answer, and it's not just an experiential reply. It's not just because he's seen all the wonder that Jesus has done. It's a reply of the Spirit, because he has been truly moved to believe and know Jesus as the Messiah. That's what's important for us. We can try to convince or prove to people who Jesus is, but ultimately, we spread the gospel and teach about Jesus as the Son of the living God through our spiritual journey and how we act in relationship to one another and the world. In Romans today, we are reminded that it is our spiritual worship that honors God. We are admonished not to conform to the world as the place where we find our identity as followers of Jesus. We are reminded that each one of us have different gifts and bring different strengths to the church, none being any better than another. And that points to how important it is, the importance of our declaration that Jesus is the Son of God, and that declaration has to come from the Spirit. It has to come from our hearts and our souls and not from the world. We can let what others say and do to define who we are as Christians, or we can let Jesus define who we are. So who are you? And who do you say Jesus is? I find it personally encouraging that it is our good old friend Peter that gets it right. Peter, the disciple that is presented to us in the Gospels as the one who pushes back, sometimes denies, sometimes a little short on belief as he sinks into the water. But this is the one that Jesus trusts with the keys to the kingdom. The rock. The rock is not Peter as a person. The rock is the testimony that Peter professes. That truth, that testimony, is what the church is built on. And while after the resurrection, Peter emerges as sort of the leader of the emerging church, he's not given any authority of his own, but he's given only the authority of God. Jesus says, "I will build my church." The church is not just some place that we gather. The church that Jesus builds is the coming together of believers that will ensure that in spite of the forces of sin and death, trying so hard to destroy the church and the followers, that we, through as believers and members of the church, will always prevail because Jesus said so. We are his church, and he protects us, and he watches over us. This week, I received a meditation that suggested ways we can witness to the truth of who Jesus is. There was a suggestion for each day, but I just want to offer just some highlights for you because I found them very, very inspirational. Excuse me. We think that fear, anger, divine intimidation, threat, and punishment will lead people to love. Our task is merely to lead people by loving God and imitating God. We have to live in just relationships with one another and work at restoring wholeness to those people and relationships that have been broken and repair as best we can some that cannot be restored. In the Hebrew scriptures, it is revealed from Isaiah 35, 4 through 7, that people are not going to get what they deserve. They're going to get much better than they deserve. And finally, true repentance promises us reunion with God and one another. It promises us restoration to community and to all the responsibilities that go along with life in relationship. Relationship with one another, relationship with God. So I ask again, who are you? And who do you say Jesus is? And how will you witness to the truth that Jesus is indeed the Son of God? We are the church, and we will not, and we cannot be defeated because Jesus said so. Amen. Please stand.